How do we know if we've passed from death to life, as John 5:24 says? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you and doing our best to answer them. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions. Yesterday, we started taking some questions from Daniel. Daniel sent us five questions. We answered all five, but we thought the last question probably requires a little more discussion because it's a good question. His question is, if lordship salvation is false, now what is lordship salvation?
Okay, lordship salvation is the view that in order to be born again, one must not only believe in Christ, but one must also yield to the lordship of Christ, submit to the lordship of Christ, promise to follow the lordship of Christ.
Like leave your sins behind and start, obeying.
Right.
Basically, lordship salvation teaches in different degrees that works are somehow required for salvation.
Right.
It's not enough to believe if you don't have works. You need both. So if lordship salvation is false, and we would say it is false,
right,
salvation is by faith apart from works, simply by believing in Jesus, does that mean men like John MacArthur are false teachers whom I shouldn't listen to anymore? Let's break that up. Does that mean John MacArthur and people like him who teach lordship salvation, are they false teachers?
Okay, I would say yes in the area of how to be born again, but no, not in other areas. He would be clear in terms of things like the inerrancy of Scripture or the importance of verse-by-verse Bible teaching, the sanctity of marriage, the role of husbands and wives in marriages, and the importance of parenting, and all kinds of things he would be very accurate on.
Yeah.
But when it gets to this issue, his teaching is incorrect. It is actually a form of work salvation.
And by the way, we're not picking on John MacArthur. He's just using that as an example.
Right.
So any lordship salvation teacher. But in his case, there are things that you would agree with MacArthur on, you're saying.
I've often pointed out that I agree with John MacArthur on so many points.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the area of disagreement is the most important issue, but that doesn't mean I don't pay attention to other things he says. And one of the things I would say is the fact that a person is incorrect in one area doesn't necessarily mean they're incorrect in all areas.
But now, see, we're not talking about a minor issue here.
You're right.
Let's say someone's wrong on eschatology. That's not minor. To me, that's major, but this
How
is
about
the saving message.
Women wearing head coverings.
All right, yeah,
in the
women
church.
Wearing head coverings.
Let's say that the Bible teaches the women should, and you teach they shouldn't. To me, that would be a relatively minor issue.
So if you're a false teacher on that issue, you're just wrong. But teaching work salvation, isn't that a whole other category of being wrong?
Well, in light of the book of Galatians, where Paul is talking about people who are saying you need to be circumcised in order to be justified. You need to keep the law in order to be justified. Paul is more angry and upset in that than any other of his letters. I would say, yes, it's a major error, and it is one that would keep me from being a part of that church.
Okay, well, this is a good question, because the second part of his question is whom I shouldn't listen to anymore. So if someone is wrong on the gospel, should you stop listening to that person? Should you stop reading their books?
And I think that's a different question than going to their church.
Right. The going to church to me is like the third issue. So maybe let's talk about that
okay.
first. I would never, ever go to a Lordship Salvation church.
Right. That would be a deal breaker. I would meet in my home, or I would drive an hour or two or three, whatever it took, to go to a church that wasn't proclaiming a works salvation or Lordship Salvation message. But on the other hand, on this question of should we stop reading or listening, I think it depends on who you are. If you're a brand new believer, don't listen to Lordship Salvation preachers. Don't read their books because you don't have enough grounding yet to be able to deal with what they're saying.
Right.
If you're an immature believer, I don't care if you've been a believer for 20 or 30 years, if you're not well taught, don't listen to them, don't read them.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you're a well-grounded believer, you're a pastor, you're an elder, you're a deacon, you lead a Bible study, someone who's teaching Sunday school and you've been doing it for years, then what I would say is, depending on your level of understanding, sure, you might want to listen or read them, as long as you are able to discern the truth of what they're saying and the error of what they're saying.
I kind of think of it like this. My kids, for some reason, love seafood. Mussels, oysters,
really?
Crab,
really?
All, everything. Crawfish. They love seafood. But there are some types of fish I will not give them. And do you know why?
Why?
Because they have bones in it. And I can spit out the bones. I'm confident I'll eat that fish because I can spit out the bones. But my kids, I'm terrified that they won't know what they're doing.
And
they will swallow a bone and it'll get stuck in their throat. And I think the same thing is with believers. If you're mature enough to spit out the bones, I could read Pope John Paul II defend the value of human life and criticize abortion. I can get a lot out of it, but I'm not going to go all in on his Mary theology. I'm not going to go in all on his gospel, you know, his works gospel. But not everyone can do that. Some people get very confused very easily. And if you are that person, just have enough self-awareness to say, okay, I'm not going to get this guy's book.
No, that's exactly right. For most people, reading someone who's a Lordship Salvationist is less of a problem than reading an atheist, or less of a problem than reading, say, a leading Roman Catholic theologian or whatever. Some things are more difficult. They have more bones than others.
All right. Well, here's a question from Gary. And Gary asks, how do you know you've passed from death to life? Do you go by John 5:24 or do you go by 1 John 3:14?
All right. And you know why he asked that question, right?
It must be because they're similar wording. Is that right?
The same wording. And it only occurs in these two passages.
All right. I'll read John 5:24. And it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And then 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Okay, so 5:24 says, if you believe, you've passed from death to life. But 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we've passed from death to life if we love. So that's not belief. That's a behavior thing. That's a love thing. So
exactly. Well, what a lot of people think, and I was just looking at the Greek to see if it's the same, and it is. What a lot of people do, especially coming from a Lordship Salvation standpoint, is they say, see, what 1 John 3:14 is telling us is the way in which we have assurance of our salvation is by looking at our works.
So if you believe this happens, Jesus is saying, but you can know that it happens, 1 John is saying, if you love. So you can have assurance that it's happened if you love. That's what some people say.
And what a lot of people also then do is say, therefore, in essence, loving one another, which is ultimate fulfillment of all God's commands, right? So it would basically be obedience to God's commands is a condition of everlasting life, or is the condition of everlasting life, because they would say, if you truly believe, then you truly love.
Okay.
The problem with that is 1 John 3:14 is in a completely different context than John 5:24. John 5:24 is evangelistic. 1 John is written to believers, and according to chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, his purpose is that the readers might have fellowship with the apostles and fellowship with God. And so the whole purpose of the book is fellowship. I would call it tests of fellowship. And when you get to 3:14, he's talking to people who are born again. You might compare 1 John 2:12 through 14 to show how strong these people were in the faith. They're probably elders in a local church. He says, we know that we have passed from death to life. He's talking about in our experience, because the context here in this section, as you mentioned, my Greek Testament here titles this the imperative of love. And that's covering verse 10b through 15 is the imperative of love. And basically what he's saying is, when we are loving our brothers and sisters, then we know in our experience we've passed from death into life. He's not talking here about our position, because we know we've passed from death to life in our position, according to John 5:24, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, okay.
And there's no loving one another in John 5:24. So what happens here is a common mistake where you see the same expression in two different places and you assume, therefore, it must have exactly the same sense.
So there's one is about status and one is about experience. One is about position, one is about condition.
Right.
So what would an illustration of that be? Something like, I know my legal status to my wife Abby changed on August 13th, 2005 when we got married.
Right. Back in August of 2005, you loved your wife, but your love for your wife was really a positional love. The marriage had not yet been consummated. You didn't have children yet. You had not gone through all the struggles of life. Mm-hmm. But 15 years later, your love is now experiential.
Because we've gone through all this life experience together.
The longer you're married, the more experience you have that shows the imperative of love. So I don't know if that's a great example, but it seems to me it kind of gets in the ballpark. Another way you could kind of say it is your son Zane. He was your son the day he was born.
I guess he was my son the day he was conceived.
The day he was conceived, right. But in terms of him being your son in his experience, well, that was something that couldn't have happened when he was 6 months old or a year old, because he can't really be acting like your son until he's old enough to be volitional and old enough to be of his own choice following what you're telling him to do. And some people would say, really, your children cannot express their love for you and their values until they're at least teenagers. Mm. Because then they go through all these hormonal changes and you really get to see, okay, are they going to act like children, you know, of Sean and Abby?
Right.
And if they are, then they will show that in their experience.
Right. Well, thank you for your questions. Keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org. We love hearing from you. We want to know who you are. We want to know what you're thinking. We want to know what questions you're struggling with. So send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about giving an invitation in church. So you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.